Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. AdFreeShows.com has two can't-miss events this April. April 5th, The Nature Boy will join AdFree Shows members to watch his WrestleMania 8 title match against the Macho Man Randy Savage 30 years later. And then we'll celebrate 25 years since barely legal 1997 with Taz and Sabu joining us for a live watch-along on April 14th. This is your chance to watch your favorite wrestling moments with your favorite wrestling stars exclusively at AdFreeShows.com. You know, I get the question all the time. Conrad, I know you help people save money and you help people refinance, but could you actually help me buy a house? Yeah, buddy. Come on now. Buywithconrad.com is your hookup. And let me give you a heads up. You don't need a huge down payment to buy a house in 2022. In fact, you may not need a down payment at all. There are still loan programs out there that can get you out of your apartment and into a brand new house with no money down. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but buddy, we're doing it pretty routinely. And you don't have to be a veteran, but yeah, we can still help our veterans get into a house with no money down. But more importantly, we're going to help you get on the path to buy a house this year. You see, a lot of times we have these conversations and folks say, well, I've got a little bit of time left on my lease, or I'm not sure exactly when I'll be ready, or how much of a down payment do I need to save up? My advice, don't get ahead of yourself. Let's start the pre-approval process. Let's know what your new house payment could look like. You'll tell us how much down payment you want to have. Maybe the answer is zero. That's cool. And then you'll tell us what you want your monthly payment to be. And then you go shopping for your dream home. But step one starts at buywithconrad.com. And hey, did you know that when you go to file your taxes as a homeowner, you're going to get a statement back from your mortgage company that's going to say, hey, you can write off this amount of interest this year. How much of your rent are you writing off this year? None of it. Oh, and by the way, what's your interest rate on your rent? Well, that would be 100%, pal. You know you can do better than 100% interest. That's what rent is. Stop throwing your money away. And by the way, we can even help you get rid of your current house and get into a better house if you already have a house, but you think, you know what? It's time for a new place. We can help you at buywithconrad.com. That's buywithconrad.com, B-U-Y withconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. And be sure to ask about our green light underwrite. We can actually get your file completely underwritten, and that allows you to negotiate like a cash buyer at buywithconrad.com. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to DDP Snake Pit. And of course, we couldn't do it without our Hall of Famers, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how are you, man?
Better and better each day, man.
And how about Diamond Dallas Page? DDP, how are you, dude?
Doing great, man. Doing great. You might recognize this place if you watch the resurrection of Jake the Snake, because I know you were about to ask me, where are you?
Are you in the accountability crib?
We are in the accountability crib
and listening to voices.
we have a whole new show that we're shooting. It's a docuseries, and we're filming it right here, and it's called Change or Die. And you really could have, you could have called it that instead of the resurrection of Jake the Snake, just different. We brought five people into the house and we are documenting this journey. And it's kind of like, Biggest Loser meets The Apprentice, because there are challenges, meets Intervention. Yeah. We've got a really great group of people here that are, we've only been here 3 weeks now. And we've got some like just unbelievable footage of what's happening within the house here. Just like we did with the resurrection of Jake the Snake. Some of the people you'll know, some people you won't know. This is a wrestling podcast. you know, it's already out there all over the internet that Buff Bagwell is in the house.
Getting a facelift.
Getting a facelift. Just coming back from facelift surgery. Yeah. Yes, we're kidding.
His jokes. Jowls.
Jokes. That's what God, Rogan always says when he's on stage. Jokes, people. Jokes. Jokes. This is smarting you up and giving him credit, so I'm not stealing it. Also, Butterbean is in the house.
Oh, wow.
And Butterbean's actually in the shot behind him. Raise your arm, Butterbean. You're back there.
How about that?
Yes, Butterbean.
When Dallas gets three, he's going to be Buttercup.
Oh, God. He's got one after another, don't he? And then we have three other amazing people in here. And one of them, his name is Mildred. And Mildred's 67 years old, or 67 years young, on her way to being. We've got Cece, and she's an amazing young lady we have in here. And we've got a young man named Taylor. We call him T-Dog. And each one of them has their own story here, and each one of them are on this journey with us. So we'll be bringing more of that out as the days and weeks and months roll on. And, you know, we're doing it all ourselves, editing it all ourselves, and then we'll find a place to put it.
Well, man, I'm excited to see how that, you know, comes to fruition. And I think anybody, when they see that backdrop where you are right now, they know the story of Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall. And unfortunately, Scott Hall's story has, his life may have come to an end, but his story is not. And that's what we're here to do today, is celebrate his story. Because you talk about a guy who touched so many people. I don't know that you guys saw this, but when the news came out that we had lost Scott Hall, Scott Hall was the most searched thing on Google that entire day. Over 2 million searches that day. No one looked up anything more than they looked up Scott Hall, not just in wrestling, in the world. That's quite an impact, quite a legacy. And you guys were there for a lot of the good times, a lot of the bad times. And now, unfortunately, selfishly, there's some sad times, because I didn't know Scott all that well. I probably had 30 conversations with him, and I'm glad that he's at peace finally. But selfishly, God, I wish we had more time with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I'm just glad that, you know, that when he did leave here, I knew the response. I knew it was going to blow up the internet. I didn't know if he'd be the number one person researched, you know, on the internet that day, but I knew it'd be pretty close, man, because every single person, you know, who I talked to, you know, and had nothing but love. And, you know, I think, Jake, and you knew this coming into this, you didn't believe people felt the way they felt about you.
No, I didn't have a clue.
No, he really didn't. And I don't think Scott did either. I don't think Scott did, you know, but, you know, he was still torn.
Scott had a lot of anger
towards
himself. And I'm just so happy that he got 10 more years. You know, when Dallas went down and met with him and he came up here, he wasn't in a good place then. And, you know, I don't want to say that he was close or whatever back then, but he damn sure wasn't in a good place. And by coming up here, he got 10 more years out of it.
Man, he looks, man, movie star, man. He looked like a movie star. By the time when he left here, he looked like a movie star.
Damn right he did, man.
For the last 10 years, he did too. And so, you know, he's like that to me. He's like now the James Dean of wrestling, because he still looked amazing, you know, right on up to all the way out, you know.
You know, we talked earlier this week, you and I did, Dallas. And when you said Scott Hall to me was like the James Dean of wrestling, I had never heard that before, but I was like, that's exactly it, because nobody could really put their finger on what made James Dean cool. He just was. And that's the word that everybody used to describe Scott Hall. He was just cool. Above all else, he could wear goofy shit that you would make fun of somebody for. But when Scott did it, it's like, well, that's pretty badass. He's just cool. And that's something you can't teach or coach. He was just cool. He just had it.
Yeah. He pulled that off. And that's the big, I remember when Fluffy was here, you know, Gabriel Iglesias. He told me he cried for 3 weeks when he realized that he wasn't Mexican. You know, to talk about timing.
Oh my God.
Because you never would be able to do that today.
Right.
No.
You couldn't do it. But Scott Hall gave a lot of young Latino kids, you know, like hope, you know, and, you know, that, that whole character, man, you know, but he came in as, the, you know, it started as the Diamond Stud,
right?
You know, because he had already been Big Scott Hall, Gator Scott Hall, Coyote Spaceship
or Starship Coyote. Like, yeah.
Was it Spaceship Coyote?
Starship Coyote.
I don't understand how a guy 6'6" and 298 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal ends up with that name. But, you know, I get the Scott Hall ones. Gator, I didn't really get either. But whatever. None of those was really Scott. And I, you know, I don't think Scott, you know, really knew who he was as a character or how to amp Scott Hall up. Like Jake, you know, as Jake Snell, he created this character, Jake Snake Roberts, but it's Aurelian Smith jacked up in that playing that part. You know, for me, it was just me jacked up or, you know, or Austin or whoever, but Scott couldn't really find that spot. And when he came in to WCW and changed his look, you know, and got him to dye his hair jet black and get rid of that walrus mustache because he had the blonde hair and the big mustache. And you change that. And we went to TV that day and no one recognized him. Nobody. And it kind of flipped them out a little bit, you know, because he was like me. It would flip me out if all of a sudden, guys, I like if Jake, if I walk up to Jake and started talking to him, and he's talking to me and he doesn't really act like it's me because he doesn't know it's me. That would freak me out, you know? So that was the beginning of it. And then he found like, wow, look at this character inside this guy. Like, I think physically, because in the ring, man, he was so smart. I put him at the top of the list, but you know, Scott was a huge fan of Jake and following Jake in psychology. Scott Hall really had all that. He had all that. And then we'd get in my 62 pink Cadillac, man. And most of our TVs were right around here. And we'd drive from one, so Florence, South Carolina, or Macon, Georgia, or wherever. And he'd be rolling.
Down the road.
Rolling.
Down the road.
Rolling. And, you know, he was not, I never saw Scott Hall take a drink, a beer, nothing.
Wow.
Nothing, never. And he would do Scarface. And he knew every one of those quotes. So that's where it all started from.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. This year, it's time to get off the couch and get back into the bedroom. Blue Chew can help. Guys, we know that confidence can take you far in life. And when you feel confident, you're at your best, especially when it comes time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as both Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. You can take these dudes anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, the process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And here's the best part. It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door, all in a discreet package. And guys, I've heard the lady say there's nothing sexier than confidence. Well, Blue Chew can help give you that confidence you need where it counts. And if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free and use our special promo code DDPSNAKE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. The promo code is DDPSNAKE to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's podcast. What's interesting too, is you go back and you look in his early years and he almost looks like a more muscular Magnum TA with the blonde hair and the big mustache, but a totally different presentation. But as the rumor goes, you had a lot of influence with that, Dallas, the switch to the dark hair and getting rid of the mustache and the diamond stud. That was a lot of your brainchild, the toothpick, all that, right?
Yeah. The toothpick. We were leaving a Waffle House, you know, we both, you know, they always grab toothpicks on the way out.
And that was the best part of the meal.
Yeah, right. I got this idea. Wait a second. We stop. I go, at the end, I'm going to go back and get some more toothpicks. I'm right back. I run and grab a bunch more toothpicks. And I go, this is what we're going to do right at the end of the promo. This is our first promo. I said, we both take them out of our mouth and flick them into the camera. And during the promo, my toothpick fell out of my mouth. And I was like, no, like, oh man, that was such a great gimmick. And boy,
it was meant to be.
Oh God, that's a God moment, you know? He took that toothpick out, ding. And, you know, bad guy was born, man. Someone told me, I was talking to Austin. God, I can't remember. Maybe it was Mark Merrow. I was talking to the other day, and he was watching some old diamond stud footage. And I used to, you know, strip the stud. So it was like a rude gimmick, too, you know? And I'd call up to look for the best-looking girl, and people would be pointing out, this girl, come on down. And some of the girls, I'd have to strip the stud. Other ones, I'd go, you know, you looked a lot better looking up there. Nope, ain't happening. Stud, do it yourself, bro. look at Huggins' face. Yeah. That was he.
Absolutely.
That was he. We were heels.
Yeah. You know? You get shot to a shit.
Yeah, that was. I'm sorry to any of you or anybody who's watching. I'm sorry I ever did that, but it was part of the show.
To switch gears a minute, I did a little research before we clicked record, and Jake, I was kind of surprised to see, I think you only ever wrestled Scott twice before the Mexico run. I know you guys did a handful of matches in 97 in Mexico for AAA. But that I think was the fake razor, the actual Scott Hall. I think you only wrestled a dark match once, in West Virginia. It was a tag match with you and Razor against Goldust and 123 Kid, and then once on a German tour in 1996.
Exactly. Yeah, in Germany. And how, you know, to show you what kind of guy he is or was, you go to Germany, I'm at the end of the road for me. I'm out of shape, and we're on this German tour, and I'm wrestling Scott. And I already know that my job tonight is to make him look good. And I can't remember who the agent was. They go over and tell Scott, and Scott just got up and he started throwing, just, hell no, I'm not doing it. Screw that. It's not happening. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Scott, what's going on? He goes, I'm not doing it. What? I'm not beating you. What? That's what I'm here for. He goes, Jake, ain't no way in hell I'm beating you. I'm taking the DDT right out there. 1, 2, 3. That's it.
Because Scott was a fan too, man.
He was, man. He was, but such he had the love and respect for the business.
Yes.
You know?
He loved
There's
he
not
loved
but
it.
A handful of people that'll do that. Mm-hmm. And Scott was one. And we went out and we had a good time. We actually wrestled one more time and oh my God, it was for the Insane Clown Posse. it wasn't a pretty night. And somebody hit Scott in the head with a beer bottle.
Oh, that's
and the match only went about 4 minutes because Scott got hit with a beer bottle and he finished the match out there with that fan. I was in the ring, you know, and he kicked the shit out of them. And that was the end of the night, man. I left because when that giant fish hit the ring. I'm like, that's it for me. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I was crazy. I was there one time, man.
Brutal, man.
When you drove into that, that insane clown posse field, I felt like I was driving up on Devil's Reject.
Yeah.
I mean, it was scary, man.
It reminds me of the zombies and shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Devil's
Reject, crazy shit.
The zombies actually look better than a lot of people that.
I'll tell you what, though, I got so much respect for those clowns, though, man. They are some good guys, and they love the business. And they were really good to me. And they were really good to Scott, too.
Yeah, they were.
They were really good to Scott.
They loved Scott to death.
Yeah.
How random is that, though, that Jake had two singles matches, one at an ICP show in Evansville, Indiana, and the other in freaking Germany for the WWF. That's about as far apart as you can get from one another.
Yeah. It happens that way sometimes, you know.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
By now, you know that everything is crazy overseas, and well, that's created some volatility in the market. We actually saw rates tick down a little bit this week. We don't know how long it'll stay that way. All the experts are predicting that there is going to be a rate hike this month, in the month of March. Some are saying 25 basis points, others are saying 50. What does that mean? It means waiting will cost you money. And by the way, I want to mention, this is still a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity just based on your real estate values. You see, all of a sudden, your house is worth considerably more than it was just a couple of years ago, and as a result, you can use that newfound equity to change your life. We're routinely helping our podcast listeners take their 30-year loan and pay it off in half the time. And how can they afford to do that without their payments going sky high? We get rid of all their other debt. And I mean it. As a heads up, what would you do if you had no credit card debt? Just like that, it was all paid off. How much easier would life be if those car payments, they're out of here, no more car payments. That is the story that we're able to help our friends and family with at SaveWithConrad.com. You see, the interest you pay on your credit cards, not tax deductible, and sky high. The interest you pay on your car loans. Buddy, where is that going? What if we could restructure all of your debt, use some of this newfound equity, and at the same time, get you out of debt faster? You see, what we're talking about is reducing the time on your mortgage. Yes, we're going to get you a great rate, but if you're in a 30-year loan, think about what your life looks like 30 years from now. Man, life gets a lot easier when you're completely debt-free, and that's what we want to help you do. And by the way, you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket. And oh, as a heads up, if you've been thinking, hey man, I like my house, but my kitchen's kind of outdated, what if we could get you the cash you need to turn your average kitchen into something your wife loves, and it wouldn't change your monthly payment at all? Why wouldn't you do that? You see, you'd be reinvesting back in your own property. That's going to make your house worth even more. And oh yeah, you can do it with cheaper monthly payments at SaveWithConrad.com. Now, I know it sounds too good to be true, but I want you to go check out our reviews for yourself. See what some of our new family members are saying at ConradReviews.com. You'll see there we've got over 1,000 verified reviews. Our average rating is 4.72. And if we were a restaurant with 1,000 reviews and a 4.72 rating, I know where you're eating dinner, and I know where you need to do your next loan. It's SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? That's SaveWithConrad.com. You know, one of the things, I don't know that you guys had a chance to read Dave Meltzer's obituary, but he did such a fantastic write-up about Scott Hall and his influence. He talked to Sean Waltman Dallas, and he said that perhaps Scott was the smartest person in that car. Of course, talking about riding with the Click back in the day. And he said one of the things he taught him was, hey, if you're working a TV match, grab a hold. Don't just hit one move after another. That forces the announcers to just call the action. But when you grab a hold, now they've got to put you over. And that is such a really smart nugget of wisdom I've never heard in wrestling. And gosh, how many hours a week do I do podcasting? And I never heard that explained like that. The idea that you can't just do one after another, grab a hold and let those announcers tell your story. just a genius little nugget of information there.
Yeah, I knew, you know, just when it came to Scott, there's a bunch of things that we go head to head with, you know, and he would say, "Dally, it's just your opinion." That's what he would say. And then I can't tell you how many times I would call him up, you know, between when he left, I want to say, when did he get up there? 94, 93. When did he get up to New York?
92, end of 92.
92, okay. Between 92 and 96, I'll bet you I called him five times. Because now I'm a worker. I'm not just a manager. Because that's when we had these discussions, you know, because I thought I knew. And I would call him up. I go, I'm just calling you again, dude. I know you're on the road, but I just got to say, you were right about whatever it was, you know, maybe, I don't know what it could have been right now. I can't remember, but I know it's five times I called him and said, just want to let you know you're right. So I didn't do that with him because I'm already working. So whatever he tells me, I'm pretty much buying it, you know? So what were you going to say?
No, nothing. Just what can you say? What can you say? I mean, I'm so angry, not at Scott, at the disease, you know. And he fought it. But Scott liked to be alone at times, and I think that's one of the things that got him, was being alone, locked up in a place, and having to listen to himself.
I come by there a bunch of times, bro, and I just try to get him to come out. And he was like, "D, I can't get a chance of getting COVID." Yeah,
couldn't take that chance, man. He's locked up. And, you know, when I get alone, man, that's when I get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because stinking thinking. That's what I call it.
Zig Ziglar.
Alone and stinking thinking, and the old devil creeps in and says, you know, see, the devil can justify anything. He can justify rape. He can justify whatever you want. Your mind can do that. And I think that's probably what happened to Scott. You know, he just got to where, you know, what the F, you know?
Well, at the end, Jake, you know, he was sober.
Yeah,
completely,
yeah, I know.
You
know? But and he fought it for so long.
But there was times where he fell down and he got back up again, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just weak at the end. You know, it was just tough, you know, seeing that. Yeah. So I think if he was stronger, if he had a better immune system, you know, that those operations wouldn't have, you know, fucked them up the way they did. But let's talk about some positive shit.
I want to talk about the debut. You know, I think it happened at Super Brawl, the very first one, May 19th, 1991, Dallas, you're going to come out and say, "Sting and Lex Luger aren't big enough stars to be live in the Diamond Mine." And you introduce the Diamond Stud, your latest find, at Scott Hall's surprise debut. Talk about a fresh coat of paint here on a character. Was he nervous, excited, anxious? Did he feel like this is his big break at the time?
You know, he felt positive as hell. He was excited about it. You know, when you were getting a nice little spot here, a break away from that match, and come right to me and him and some smoking hot Diamond Dolls. And, you know, he was just happy to finally, you know, be back working here in the States, because he had just got back from Germany, you know, probably about a month or so before that. So, you know, just for us to be, it was like, we always thought we were main event, you know, didn't matter. They weren't putting us in the main event, you know, meaning him as the wrestler and me as the manager. But he was excited to have a new fresh start.
I think his tryout match was actually late April at Center Stage, and that's where he debuted, as far as I know, his version of the Crucifix Powerbomb. Jake, right. The DDT, the Diamond Cutter, two world famous finishing maneuvers, but every time someone does that move now, I think we all think of Scott Hall. What'd you think of that as a finishing maneuver?
Well, I damn sure could have never done it. I've always had the idea that when you come up with your finishing maneuver, make sure you can do it to everyone in case you ever have to wrestle them. But Scott, he put 300 pounders up there. He didn't give a shit. He could do it. He was a horse, man.
He was super strong.
And once he got you up, he could walk around. You know, I would never do something like that because, I couldn't pick up my sister, you know, like that. Are you kidding me? But he did it. And it looks so magnificent when he holds you up there. Just the sign of the cross in my mind plays with me.
Yeah.
So it impressed.
And he always protected you on that thing.
Yeah.
He threw you out far enough. If you just let him do it, you're good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he'd stick you. So is everybody.
Oops, you moved.
Yeah. I remember when I had the match with Randy Savage and Scott was like out there with Randy and it's a no DQ. Randy hits me with the belt. Scott picks me up and gives me his finish. And then Randy came off the top. And
did you kick out?
Dude, he landed on my face.
I know. Yeah. I've had that lat drop before.
No.
Randy never hit you with the big elbow, but it was a lat drop.
Yeah.
Look at this whole thing here.
I woke up backstage walking with Kimberly, and I stopped, and I said, did I just wrestle?
That happened here.
Like, that was one of those moments. And I always thought that Scott hit me with the belt, because when Scott Hall came with something, he hit you. we did an angle at my Christmas party, which I was just talking about today. Christmas party where the NWO show up, Kev and Pac and Scott. And, you know, we get this altercation and Scott takes a Coke bottle. Now, it's a gimmick Coke bottle. But it's a Coke bottle, you know, even though it's made of sugar glass.
It still hurts.
And Scotty hit me so hard in the face, and it shattered. And I went down, and then he threw our Christmas tree on top of me. Now, Kimberly doesn't know any of this is happening.
Oh, gosh.
She's screaming at him, you son of a bitch, you threw our tree. Scott, pick up that tree. I mean, I'm just laying there knocked out. Oh, okay, man. Cut. We're done filming.
Oh, my God.
And what happened is I got three little pieces of that sugar glass in my eye.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I stayed up the whole time with the party and everything, and everybody left around 3 o'clock. I mean, everybody who was anybody was there, too. And at one point on my deck in the back, remember that deck? Like Dusty was out there and Big Show was out there or at the time, the Giant, Ron Reese, there's over 1,000 pounds right there, you know, and there's 20 other people. And I just heard about one of those, you know, those porches collapsing with people. And I started looking out there. I'm like, oh God. I'm going to take half the roster out.
It's gone. Oh, it's not going to live in the papers.
Hey, let's get a couple of you guys. Jim, Giant, come on in here. Come on, G. Come on in here. Hey, Ron Reese, come on in here. I don't want anything to happen there. But I got those things in my eye, and I kept going the whole night. And afterwards, Kimberly took me to the hospital. They went in and washed it out.
Wow.
But when Scotty hit you, anybody who's ever hit with it, I thought he hit me with that belt and it knocked me silly, but it wasn't. It was Randy, because I saw it maybe about a month ago or so. And I realized Scott didn't hit me with the belt. Matter of fact, Scott laid me perfect for Randy to land on my face again. But, Scott would come with something, so I thought it was him.
The NWO is the leg.
It always looks good when your head compresses, you know?
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, guys, check this out. I'm so excited to share this with you. We've been working on it for a long time, and we've got two incredibly special events coming your way. I can't believe this is real, but we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of one of the most important pay-per-views in history, one of my personal favorite pay-per-views in history, Of course, I'm talking about Barely Legal 1997, ECW's very first pay-per-view. Paul Heyman convinced the boys and us, the fans, that this was the dance. And finally, we were going to see Taz and Sabu. Boy, they built that match for what felt like years. And now they're finally going to hook it up only on pay-per-view. And I can't believe this is real. Buddy, the 16-year-old in me is so excited for this. We're going to have Taz and Sabu do a watch-along of that match and take your questions about Barely Legal 1997. What was going on in front of the camera? But more importantly, what did we not see behind the camera? These guys have never done this before, but they're going to do it together with us on April 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And yes, you can be there. Yes, you can ask questions. It's all happening at adfreeshows.com. But buddy, before that, do we have something special in store? I'm talking April 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mark your calendars down. The Nature Boy. That's right. Ric Flair is going to join us live as we watch back his classic WrestleMania 8 title match. It's Ric Flair, the Macho Man. It's for the world title, and it's 30 years this year. Can you believe it? It's been 30 years since WrestleMania 1992, and we are going to talk about what could have been with WrestleMania 8. I think everybody expected it to be Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. Instead, it was the Macho Man. And what a match it was. By the way, these are both happening at adfreeshows.com. A $29 level membership on adfreeshows.com gets you a seat for not one, but both events, along with the access to all the content on the site, or become a Top Guy member to come up and ask your questions live with Taz, Sabu, and yes, the Nature Boy. That's two can't miss events in April at adfreeshows.com. That's the only place you can do this. Check it out if you haven't already. Adfreeshows.com. You don't want to miss this. Jake, the NWO is probably his longest lasting legacy and will be forever. I mean, people are still enamored with it. And you'd been around the business for a long, long time when in May of 96, he came down that aisle. What were you thinking when you saw that? Did you know, well, this is it. This is the next big thing. Did you know right away?
Oh yeah. Right away. Right away, man. He had such a presence, you know, and it was such a surprise. I mean, it slapped everybody in the face, you know, and hell, even the smart marks were wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Vince has sent them down there, you know,
or they're doing a dual thing. Yeah. Something's happening.
Something's
here.
Going on here. And yeah. This is against the law. They're going to arrest him probably. And yet he went down and did what he's supposed to do. And, you know, yeah. NWO. Yeah. It got over.
Yeah, and Scotty, and he friggin', it was tough on WCW because, you know, he used to go out there and do that, you know, survey. You know, did you come here to see WCW?
No.
Or did you come here to see the NWO? Everybody's going to do that no matter what.
Yes.
You know, even if WCW fans are pissed off, they're going to go and. Oh, because it's Pavlov's dog.
Yes. Everybody wants to be a part of the party, man.
Yeah.
And they want to be on the winning side. And it was obvious NWO was the winning side.
And I really, honest to God, think that Eric would have turned it into the NWO, but and then WCW been the Outlaws, you know, and they couldn't because Turner had spent I don't know how many millions of dollars creating that stupid logo that looked like a spaceship, and then they stuck it as your entrance before you walked out there. And they were like, I told Eric, I'm like, hey, E, are we going to do this? Are we going to be NWO? I mean, we need something. And he's like, no, we can't do it. I want to do it, but they won't let me. Mm-hmm. And you ask Eric, you know, because I remember that time that was the reason why, you know. But, you know, Kev and you know, Scott, you know, and of course, Hulk coming in changed the world, you know, but those two cats, man, they changed professional wrestling at that moment. Yeah, they made that change. And starting off in Madison Square Garden, you know, with the old deal with, you know,
curtain call. Yeah.
The curtain call, man. I mean, that you could tell right there, if you look back in history, like that moment, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of it. And those two guys, from what I remember, they both didn't know because Scott was the first one and Barry Bloom was pulling that off. Mm-hmm. Barry Bloom was the one who put that. Me and Barry were talking about that the other night. And then Scott, Bish said something about Kev, about him being a jerk off or something. And I was like, what? No, he's not. Well, he's a liar. I go, he's a liar. Why is Kevin Nash a liar? You can't say something bad about Kevin Nash around me. You know, nobody can. And even Bish, you know, and I was like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, he lied to me when I asked him if he was going to, you know, when he asked for his release, if he was going to New York. I said, what are you talking about, man? He was making, it was costing him money to be a professional wrestler. When Nash started, he was making like 120 a year, which you can live off of and live comfortably. Well, then by the time Watts came in, it went over to like X amount per day you worked.
Yeah.
And he made like 62 grand that year.
Before so expenses. Before expenses.
Right. Before everything. Before everything.
Yeah, you're losing like making money.
Maybe he made like 8 grand that year, 10 grand, you know? So it was costing him money to be a wrestler. I was like, Eric, that motherfucker is as straight as it gets. Like, no, he, you know, he did what he had to do for him and his family. And I said, he is a good, good guy, dude. And he was like, really? I go, really? He goes, what's his story? I said, what do you mean? He goes, is he up soon? I said, I don't know. I said, I'll give him a call. And I did. And same thing with Scott. They were around the same time. From what I remember those guys telling me, and Kev may have a different story, but I remember that they both didn't know until right before.
Yeah.
And neither one of them wanted to leave. Neither one of them wanted to leave and go to WCW. They wanted to stay there. They just wanted to be paid accordingly.
Yeah.
And when you think you're got all the power, you know, you now I'm just gonna let him go. And didn't realize how strong those two cats were and how strong they were together. Because they were never really together.
Right.
You know, they were because they were working the whole program with Sean and you know the whole deal, the way they were kitted and everything, you know, but they were working together behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, they were working together out there. So it just was so natural for them to come together. And they watch each other back. And, you know, I had to breathe there because, you know, we took it hard, really hard. But Kev, he took it really hard. Like I took it hard, but he took it really hard. And, you know, it was tough. That last week or so, it was really tough.
Jake, this is a tough episode to do. I'm going to try to talk about some positive stuff. Razor had quite the run in the WWF and became a major star there. But do you think that character, Vince McMahon, could have ever went with that character as the world champ? Because the innuendo is, especially with the Razor and all that and doing the Scarface persona, that he was, you know, a cocaine dealer.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can
mess like that.
You can't make that guy your champion.
Sure you could. Jesus Christ, man. Look at some of the champions. Give me a break.
Well, I'm just saying in that era, don't get me wrong. He's going to bring a better edge, but I think when people talk about Scott Hall, they always go back to, is he the greatest wrestler to never win a world title? And of course, Bruce Pritchard would say he didn't need it. But I just wonder, could he have ever
on that line?
I bet you have. The Razor Ramon character, I'm not sure could have been, but boy, Scott Hall could have been. And I would even go out and say, everyone agrees with the success the NWO had. I don't know that it would have caught on the way it did if it wasn't Scott first, because people wore those NWO shirts. I still see them today.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying they wear them to school. They wear them to work. They wear them to the gym. Like they're everywhere because it was cool. And before there was a pocket of society that thought wrestling's not cool. And candidly, even at the time, Hulk Hogan had sort of, well, that was passe. That was old hat. It wasn't cool anymore. But Scott Hall and that logo and that shirt and the association with Scott Hall for Hulk Hogan made it all cool. I just don't know that it would have worked as well without Scott.
Oh, I don't think so either. Definitely not. No, I think he's the first one that's got to come out and establish the coolness of it.
Yes.
You know, and then it doesn't matter after that, you know, who you bring out, because Scott's already established it. There's certain people, when they come through the door, everybody that watches and everybody listens, you know, there's not a whole lot of people like that. Scott was one of them. Everybody will stop what they're doing and see what he's going to do. Because nobody was sure. I don't think Scott was sure.
Yeah.
And that's what made him so interesting for us guys. Mm. We didn't know which way he was going to go, what he was going to do. But we knew it was worth watching.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
You know, and he would always come up with something.
Some silly, crazy stuff.
Or just something super entertaining, too. You know, or something like that's exactly what you're looking for. Like he would shut up and he would just listen. And I'll never forget, we were having a meeting in there. We were having a meeting in what I call the Sons of Anarchy room with our big table and everything. And we were trying to come up with, because my lawyer said for DDP Yoga, we couldn't call it, you know, Zero Impact, because there was some impact. And I couldn't think of like what the words were to say. We're timing this discussion, you know, with about 15 of us for a good 2 hours and still can't get it. And I walk in here and Scott pulls me over. He goes, "Dally, I don't want to get in your business or anything," he said, "but what if you said minimal joint impact?"
But I mean,
oh,
different story.
Like, oh, so kick-ass cardio, dramatically increase flexibility, striking your core at a different level with minimal joint impact. Like, perfect, bro. I said, "You stick your nose in anytime you want." I go, "You're here. You're part of this." And that was just like things like that.
If he said something, it was worth listening to. I mean, it's like Scott would walk into a room and after being around Scott for a while, I knew what he would do, what he was going to come back with. And somebody would make the mistake of saying, "How you doing, Scott?" And his line was, "Better than you." You know? It's like, that's freaking brutal, man. That's better than saying this, you know? I mean, better than you.
He was such a walking character sometimes, man.
My favorite story in that vein is the famous story with the Dudley Boys. Man, I love that finish you guys do. Can't wait to kick out of it.
Right.
That's a great line.
He had several, bro.
Dylan wrote this line and I used it. I'll about find it. I'll come back to it. I'll look for it. I'll look for it and read it when I find it.
Time to tell you about something I'm super passionate about: protecting your family. Yes, this is a life insurance ad for GoliathLife.com, but to me, this is really about peace of mind. Think about insurance for a second. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. Let me let you in on a little secret. You need life insurance. We're all going to die. Now, as you let that reality sink in, think about what would happen if your family stopped having your income tomorrow. If you don't have a plan for that, you need to visit GoliathLife.com. And I mean right now. And just personally, I've lost two friends in their 40s this past year and a half, and I don't even want to think about what their families would be going through had they not had life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. Protect your family. And I suggest you go to GoliathLife.com because they've made the process of getting affordable life insurance super easy. Goliath Life streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than 20 carriers within minutes. And you'll pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick your price, you start the online application immediately, and even schedule the medical exam to come to you. And I've done it. They sent someone to my office. I skipped the phone calls, the paperwork, and the crazy invasive conversations. Goliath Life makes buying life insurance simple. There's no hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle, hell, not even a phone call. Goliath Life is life insurance in your hands on your time. Get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home and begin your application in a few easy clicks right now at goliathlife.com. Jake, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the long lasting impact of Scott Hall. You know, in the Observer, Dave said that in his conversation with Waltman said that Shawn Michaels was better after he worked with Scott. Jeff Jarrett was better after he worked with Scott. He made everyone better. Isn't that the greatest compliment that a wrestler could have when you make your peer, like in sports, if this was a traditional sport and we're talking about, say, a basketball player, man, when you hear guys say, oh, he made everybody around him better, that's the ultimate compliment. Is it not, Jake?
There are people that just teach, you know, without saying a word. You know, I enjoyed working with guys. My job at the WWF in those days was to get the next heel over to wrestle Hogan. And that was my job. But I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to that said, yeah, man, you know what he said about you, Jay? I'm like, what? He says, it's like driving a new car, man, without being in the ring with you. I'm like, well, that's a hell of a compliment right there. Ronnie Garvin said it. I mean, I could list you guys right down the line that, you know, they appreciate what I taught them. You know, and my whole thing was teaching them that less is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get what you gave, you know, and if your reaction is nothing, then I'm not going to give you nothing, you know. And Scott did that too. Scott, his timing was impeccable. He had spot on timing, man. And I mean, even with the Insane Clown Posse, we were having fun for that first 2 minutes, and then beer bottle hit him. And, after that, it was kind of a shit drain.
I'll tell you what he did to me for a second. We had a match, me and Scott. This is when I've come out, you know, now I'm wrestling now. I mean, and they right away put us together. And Scott was so pissed off. And I didn't understand it at the time, why he would be pissed off. Like, I created your gimmick. I got your job. I mean, I've done all this for you. And now you're mad because I'm actually wrestling with you. Because they won't let me manage anymore. And I get it. You know, I got it really quick. You know, not right then. It was probably the first time I called them. I go, okay, now I really get it. What that did is take you, who should be a main event guy, and put you tagging with the manager, which moved you to the bottom of the car.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Sorry, bro. You know, I just leave those messages. You know,
as advertised.
Right. So let me tell you what he did. The first night, we are in Salisbury and Maryland. And it's me and him against Todd Champion and Chip the Firebreaker. Yeah. And Chip had come down and worked with me a bunch of times down at Power Plant. So we had a natural groove together and stuff. And so we went out there. For considering this is one of my first matches ever, like, we did pretty good, you know, and I felt pretty good about it. Well, the next night we were in Baltimore. There's probably 800 people in Salisbury, all right? Now we're in Baltimore, and there's like 5,000 people. So
different match.
It is fight all the way up. So I'm supposed to, you know, get in there with Chip and do some spots. Well, Scott, being the river that he is, he gets in the ring, and it's Chip and him, and he's supposed to, and he walks around. They're going to do a couple spots to tag me, and Scott just walked by and tagged me.
Now what?
Okay. Well, I step in, and then Chip tagged Todd. Oh, fuck. So we got two, like, green as grass guys together in this ring. Oh, God. It was a bit of a clusterfuck that night. He's like, call it out there, kid. Call it out. Well, when you're used to calling it, okay. I've been wrestling 2 months.
You got two guys that can't call.
Yeah, right. Blind leading the blind.
Will the fans be glad when Scott gets back in the ring?
Oh, God. That night, me and Chip got in a fight in the back and everything. It was crazy. Yeah, I didn't beat him. No, I did not beat him. I did stop him. Yes.
Stop him.
Well, what ended up happening was those guys, you know, they're both so muscular and so strong.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, just, you know, twisting your arm. Well, they're wringing the shit out of my arm.
Shoulder
and
out.
Stepping the hell out of me. I thought the next time that motherfucker lets me go, I'm going to just stomp him. And I did. And when we walked through that curtain, Chip was so mad. Now, there's lockers on both sides. So they're offices. This is a, you know, this is a civic center. And it's, how old is this place? I don't know, 100 years old. And so there's just a hallway. And all these little rooms are off of it. And Chip starts cutting a promo on me loud. I mean, really loud. And then I'm fucking yelling back at him. He's yelling at me. Then he chest bumps me. I chest bump him. And then he hits me with a right cross right here. And boom. And when he hit me, I came through with that knee in his guts in front, face locked his ass.
Good night.
He ain't going nowhere.
Game over.
And by this time, Steiners are out, Luger's out, Bagwell's out.
They're all there. Go.
And I just got them there, you know, and freaking out. And I really like this guy. He's not a jerk off. I like him. It just got too much of a anxiety going that night. And I grabbed him. I said, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I lifted Rob's feet. You know, I go, what the fuck? I thought you were my friend, motherfucker.
Keep in mind, there's a bunch of boys rooting against you right there.
Bro, Bug Bagwell said, there's plenty of guys that are rooting against me right there. And he was right.
And Chip got choked out.
Definitely. So I fucking...
Dallas got lucky.
I started to let him go, and I said, Chip, I said, we're going to talk about this when we get done.
Yeah.
We start up again. I ain't letting go. And I let him go, and he got pissed, and he walked off, and I walked right behind him like, dude, where are you going? No, we're going to talk about this. And Paul Lee's like, Heyman's like, no, go. Just walk away. So I walked away, and Scott and I got together later that night, and he was like, dude, you got more over tonight than you ever could have, you know, in 100 matches. He said, you earned some respect. And I love Chip. He was a great guy, man. It wasn't like it was a big knockdown, drag-out fight. It was just a swat. Now, he hit me right here and opened me up. If he'd hit me right here, I was going. Yeah. I was getting married that weekend.
The hit was never talked about, though. It was all about choking.
Yeah. Bagwell. Bagwell's still stirring the pot. Bagwell. Yeah.
Chip's knocking on the door.
Oh, I love
one more shot.
But, you know, it was, you know, again, Scott telling me things. In the beginning, he's like, why are you not managing, man? Now you've come down the bottom of the card. And I'm like, bro, they won't let me manage anymore. And that's another thing he used to tell me. Dally, you know, the bling and hair and the rap and the dolls. Like, you're overshadowing the boys. Like, I'm too over the top for professional wrestling.
Okay. Yeah, drop the cow.
Yeah, and when Magnum told me that, you know, he told me the exact same thing I just said. I said, man, what do I can do to fix it? He goes, you can't. It's not your fault. And then he said, we should have put you in a pair of tights and boots and see if you could do this, you know. And, you know, that's where I decided I was going to do that, man. And nothing was going to stop me. Nothing.
I know we talked about it not too long ago, but I don't think it can be overstated. Had he not pushed behind the scenes and drawn a line in the sand almost with Eric Bischoff, with your whole NWO rejection thing in January of 97, taking the Diamond Cutter and the Superdome, this whole thing may not have turned out the way it did for you, right?
No way. You know, I'd like to think I would have thought of something else, but there was nothing else that could have, because I was leaving.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for my release. If Kev, who loved this idea, and they're like, all right, we're killing everybody. We need to make some guys
to
work with. And Scott wanted to do it. Like, he really wanted to do it. And, you know, Scott and I were super tight. I was thinking about it. I got to tell you the story Kimberly told. When I was in L.A. when everything went down. And she said, you know, your life together. It intertwines him, Dusty, Eric, Scott, and Kev. Like, those are the guys that are the staple of my life in that world. And she said, and she was up in Northwestern at the time. And I was like, where do you see this guy? I'm going to call him the Diamond Stud, but he is such a stud. And, you know, and she's telling me the story. She's like, and I've heard this guy's a stud and that guy's a stud. And then I saw him and I was like, whoa.
He is a stud.
He might be the best looking man alive. Like, and it wasn't the guy with the mustache and, you know, it was this Diamond Stud. It was Razor Ramon. It was Scott Hall that once he took any, you know, he used to twirl that gimmick, you know, this, what do you call the super, you know,
Superman curl. Twirl, yeah.
You know, before he go out there and, you know, he go, whoa, you're going to beat the movie star. You know, like, he knew he was all these things, you know, and, you know, it's a shame that, you know, that it is what it is, because that some bitch could have been going forever, you know. But yeah, my career isn't the same without being put on that rocket by Kevin and Scott. And then Mach, of course, coming in. But Mach, you know, like Mach, like Hogan, you know, like really any top dog, they're always looking like, who can I work with next that's going to elevate me as well? You know, because Mach was doing a little bit of the drift and then sure, he put himself right back up. You know, and I was damn happy when Mach left us. You know, I was super proud of the fact that the top five feuds of Macho Man, who feuded with every big star ever over a 20-year period, had the him and Hogan, had the Mega Powers, had you and him. I can't remember who the other one was, and it had me and him. But those were the top five feuds of Randy Macho Steamboat. Man Savage. Steamboat, right. Yeah. That was it. I mean, they're just to be brought into that group of guys. Like, that to me was like, that's just like when he called me up and said, congratulations. Congratulations for what? Reinventing the DDT. Like, that's a moment, man.
Yeah.
That's a moment, you know?
I don't know if you missed it, but we are doing something special in Dallas. It's happening on April Fool's Day. But you would have to be a fool to miss this opportunity. We've got William Regal on stage with a live mic. That's right. You're going to hear from him for the very first time about what really happened and so much more. Plus the elusive, the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy, with a live mic in his hand to tell his story as only he can. And they're going to be joining myself, Eric Bischoff, and Jeff Jarrett. It's Super Show time, and you can pick up your tickets at supershowlive.com. It's all going down Friday night, April 1st in Dallas. And if you can't make plans to join us there in person at supershowlive.com, pre-order the pay-per-view. Fight is doing this pay-per-view for us, and it's on demand everywhere in the country. But don't forget, when you pre-order, you get that awesome Jeff Hardy trading card. I don't think Jeff Hardy's had a trading card that wasn't TNA or WWE specific. This is going to be very collectible. It's worth more than the pay-per-view, but you need to hurry and pre-order right now at supershowlive.com. But boy, the real value is joining us in Dallas. Supershowlive.com. We've got an unbelievable happy hour. You'll get to get pictures and autographs with Jeff Hardy, with Eric Bischoff, with William Regal, and of course with Double J, Jeff Jarrett, all before the doors open. You get the best seat in the house, and you get to hear stories we've never told on the podcast. You can't find a better deal around than supershowlive.com. Seriously, price out meet and greets all you want. You add up Jeff Jarrett, you add in Eric Bischoff, you slide William Regal in there, and oh, how about a little Jeff Hardy sprinkle on top? Buddy, it's the best value around. It's supershowlive.com. Make plans to join us Friday, April 1st in Dallas, Texas. That's supershowlive.com. And if you can't be there, pre-order the doggone pay-per-view. You'll be glad you did. That trading card is going up, up, up at supershowlive.com. You also had a second act with him in the WWE. They tried to bring back the NWO, and you were trying to find your voice there after a really bad set of creative that we'll talk about another time with the Undertaker. But it,
thank that, you. I don't think I could have taken that today.
That WWE experience, though, after all the success you guys had in WCW, it just couldn't have been fulfilling or rewarding for Scott. I mean, he's working with Stone Cold at WrestleMania, but it still feels not the same.
Well, that's when Vince is dangling something in front of you and you don't quite get the stuff that tastes good. You know, it's disguised as one thing, and then you get out there and it's a totally different thing. That's what happened to Dallas. It was disguised to be one thing, but when it come time to do it, nothing was done. Not on him. They chose to do that. And it's the sicko stupid stuff where a promotion will bring guys in from a different promotion and they just don't want to put them over. They don't want to make them. They want to keep them down. It's not as good as we are.
All I know is when the NWO got formed, or the Outsiders, Bischoff pushed them through the moon.
Oh, yes, he did.
Because that was the money.
Oh, yeah.
That was the money. That was the ratings. And I listened to what something Hulk said recently and thanking Scott, because he thanked Scott for making him cool again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was super huge, a Hulk, to say that, because, and he knew it, and we all knew it, and him and Kev made, Hulk friggin', to me, he was bigger than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was.
Because he had everybody behind him, and,
different taste, too.
Yeah.
Different taste for the fans.
Seeing something different at the same old thing you already love. Now you can love them again.
Yeah.
So, and that was different. I remember with Scott, I was wrestling. This was a wake up call for me. I wrestled Eddie Guerrero, one of the greatest ever. And Eddie and I went out there, and they were wanting to turn Eddie heel, meaning the people in Buffalo, and it's packed. It's the first show we did with my buddy Dennis up there, and he was doing the tribute show to his dad. So it was 17,000 people up there, and I grabbed the mic and I just dogged the fans out. And I said, "Last thing I need is you cheering me." After I did that, put it down. I get through the curtains. Paul pulls me aside. He goes, "What the hell are you doing?" I go, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" I'm going, "What?" He goes, "What you just said." I said, "I'm being a heel." He goes, no. "What happened when you did that?" They shut up. He said, "Exactly. Now they're not doing anything." He said, "You don't care whether they cheer or boo. You want them to do whatever. It's just like you're a superstar." And I was like, probably middle of 96, maybe towards the end of 96, when me and Eddie were working together. And I was like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, I get that." It's like, you don't care, in this scenario. You want them to be loud. If they're cheering you, let them cheer.
Let it go.
Let them cheer you. So that's what those guys did too.
And Scott was famous for giving back. I mean, on Nitro, he lost to Hector Garza. He lost to Chris Jericho. And boy, that worked out okay for Jericho in hindsight, didn't it? And Larry Zbyszko and your Diamond Cutter on Nitro. So many times where he was giving and contributing and paying it forward and passing it on. And I know there's a lot of folks who are now wondering, hey, is there going to be another Hall running around? And Cody Hall is still doing his thing in wrestling. What do you expect from Cody now? Because I think a lot of people have renewed interest in Cody and what might be possible for him in his wrestling career.
I think there's definitely something there for sure. And Kev, he's going to really reach out and, because Kevin works every damn weekend because he loves it.
Yeah.
And he's worked with every damn promoter there is. He knows them all. And Cody and I were talking about it. I had him and his sister and his brother, his brother, Scott's brother, Jeff, over for dinner when they were in town here. And Cody, I think there is a future for him out there. And I think that, You know, timing is everything. And he's done his time. He's been to Japan. He's been to UK. You know, he just needs a break. You know, I think, you know, working the independents right now, you know, the independent world out there, they draw.
Yeah.
And I think Cody Hall as a name is a draw to see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the time when we talk about this, like, you know, and Kev was like I said, it was really, really, it's still really, really hard on him. So anything that he can do to help out Cody, I know he's going to do. You know, that's just the way Kevin Nash is. You know, friend for life. For life. Friend for life.
We talk a lot about overcoming challenges and circumstances and, you know, failure is an event, not a person. I mean, you know, we have a lot of those type conversations here. And when they did an ESPN special on Scott 10 years ago, I guess, is when I first learned about his circumstance he had as a young man as a bouncer in a club. And I happened to be with Eric Bischoff last week when the news came down, and he told me that randomly when he was in Florida visiting Scott and Kev during the height of the Nitro thing, so 96, 97, Scott took him there and sort of relived that moment with Eric. And it was clearly something that all those years later still haunted him. And I know, Jake, you've overcome a whole bunch of those demons.
Yeah.
That had to be something that Scott carried with him his whole life, right?
Yeah, it was. And everybody close to him knew that he still hadn't let that go.
Yeah.
You know, it's damn near impossible to let some things go. You just gotta, I've found out for me, instead of trying to let it go, you have to embrace it. Accept it. And then do things to give back. Scott did all the giving back. He just never really, he never forgave himself.
Yes. For that.
You know, and I can't, you know, I have not been in that situation. I've had my damn situations, though. And I finally found out that I had to embrace it. You know, like with my father, I can't change who he is and who he was. He, bottom line, my father. And I don't care what he is, I still love him.
Yeah.
Because he's the only father I got. But I learned that if you embrace it and accept it, yes, he is your father. You can't change that. You have no control over that. But you don't have to like him. You don't have to like him. And that's what saved me, was realizing that I'm going to love him regardless. The biggest piece of shit in the world, I'm still going to love him. But I don't have to like him. And I don't have to be around him. And I'm damn sure not letting my children be around him. You know, and that's what I did. So with Scott, it was just different, and he was never able to do that. And I'm just grateful that we have a God that forgives, and that he's in a place now that that he can be free of that. You know, and who knows? Who knows?
Dallas, there's probably somebody watching this right now who maybe feels hopeless or isn't sure what to do next, or is frustrated with their lot in life and don't really see a way out.
There's always a way out.
What words of wisdom could you drop on them, Dallas? You've seen so many people overcome and achieve and excel beyond their wildest expectations when they never thought it was possible. And Scott was one of those, and you saw that with him. What and could
I
you,
I saw him get over stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the coolest things he said was, thank you for, you know, we filmed it, one of his pieces, thank you for reintroducing me to myself. And I really felt like he was on that trip for a long time.
Yeah.
It really kept him strong. And then I think the COVID shit hurt him more than anything, like I said, dropping into it. And I probably left him alone too long, you know, but that is what it is. But I think more than anything, it's about this, like we just do it. We do these challenges each week here on Change or Die. And the one this week is changing the story you tell yourself. And I did this talking about affirmations, positive affirmations. I was on Google, on Brainy Quote one day, and I saw this quote and I read it, and then I saw what his name was. So the quote is, the repetitions of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. And then I said, when I read that, I realized, oh my God, I know his affirmation. And I'm like, what's the odds of that? And then for everybody, I did his affirmation. I am the greatest. I am the greatest of all time. Who is that, Conrad?
Muhammad Ali.
He believed it.
Every one of them said Muhammad Ali. You know, and I'm like, well, how did you know that? Now, let's just back up. I'm going to tell you the same story. I'm down at NXT. This is a couple of years back. And I do that quote. And I said, who said that? Ali, 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 Ali. These kids are 20s, maybe early 30s. No one saw him box. No one, we grew up with him. You know, no one saw that. How do you know that? Because he said it a billion times. And that's the whole thing. The repetitions of affirmations. I'm a loser. I'm worthless. I feel like I suck.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
no good.
I'm the bad one.
So those are affirmations. They can be really positive, but they can be really detrimental and pull you down into this abyss that you can't get out of. And it seems like there's no hope, you know? And so everybody after everybody leaves, there's like 70 of the WWE NXT wrestlers there. They all come up and thank me. And waiting is Tommaso Ciampa. And his eyes are welled up. And he comes up to me and he shakes my hand. And he holds it with the other hand. He's like, you have no idea how much I needed to hear this today. And he gave me a big hug. Well, that night he was fighting for the NXT championship against Aleister Black. And I'm backstage, just got done talking to Triple H. I walk out and it's a main event. I want to hear that. I don't want to watch it on TV in the back. I want to walk out. I want to hear it. And there's Tommaso and he's standing on the stairs ready to go. And you're me, I'm him. And he's just looking up. And he's getting in his own. And then he looks at me and he says, affirmations. And he walks to the ring. Like that was a night. I told him, I said, I'm going to use this. I'm going to tell this story, especially in so people can understand how, if you go back and look up his Instagrams or Twitters or whatever, you'll see him talk about that. And reference Ali and reference, you know, the affirmations and how important they are, you know? And I found that thing I want to do. So this, we're going to close it up with this. This is what I left. It's going to be hard. My brother has gone to Valhalla to raise some hell with Dusty, Macho, and all too many other brothers and sisters. You shook up the world, bad guy. Thank you so much for driving and teaching me all that you did in this crazy business we love so much. Thank you for letting me drive. Last decade. So we can all enjoy your presence, your wit, and your charm. Scott was taken off the ventilator at 12 p.m. today. But it didn't have to But he didn't leave this earth till after 6:15 p.m. Now, this is something Dylan wrote. I did not write this. Bad guy till the end. Yo, Death, what's your finisher? Can't wait to kick out. He may not have kicked out, but he wasn't going to let that mother put that motherfucker over clean. You were one tough son of a bitch. I love you, and I miss you with all my heart. I tagged Kevin Nash, RIP, Dally. Now his daughter had text me. Where did I lose that from? She texts me, do you want to say goodbye? Oh, I know where it is. Do I want to say goodbye? That's where I was like, oh, shit. And I was super nice the first 30 seconds. At some point, I just cracked. And I started yelling them. I said, I love you. And fuck you. Fucking love you, you motherfucker. So fucking pissed at you. You son of a bitch. I said, I won't let anybody ever smear your name, bro. I got you. You're going to die in God. I'll meet you in Valhalla. And that was that. Peace out.
Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next week.